to follow along with me in your Bible, you'll turn to Psalm 4, one verse there that we'll be looking at and trying to bring the message from this morning. And I titled this thing, Signs of a Quiet Spirit. Signs of a Quiet Spirit. David, again writing, be the writer of the psalm. He said in verse number 8 of that blessed Psalm 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. There's a couple of things in this text here that seem to jump out at us right off the bat. Two subjects. That's what I'll be looking at for a little while. You follow along with me. First of all, David is expressing his privilege and his happiness itself. Where he finds this blessed happiness, the privilege that God has given him. And he's writing this not just for himself, he's writing this to God's people. As I've said over the years, time and time again, you know, I preached through the whole book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, years ago. It took me 14 years to get through there, but I preached through it, and messages were recorded. But I said time and time again, the book of Psalms seems to be the church's book. It seems to be God's people's book. You'll find yourself in whatever difficulty run up on in life as a believer, you'll find yourself in this psalm. You'll find help in the book of Psalms. Because everything, absolutely, that is in relation to our life, especially as God's believing people and those who follow Him as the great shepherd, everything you'll find in life that maybe cause you difficulty or some trouble, you'll find the solution for it in this great book, the book of Psalms. 150 Psalms. Most all of them were written by David. So David's privilege, that's the first thing I want to talk about. But David's privilege and happiness in itself. First of all, you don't know that his rest is in his Maker. He finds rest in his Maker alone. He says so. He says, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone. You know, we help each other the best we can, don't we? When we're in trouble, we try to help each other. But sometimes they're just such difficulties we find ourselves in. It's hard to get help from one another. And, you know, I've said this a lot of times, you know, it's difficult to help a fella. And if you hadn't stepped in his shoes and walked around in them for a while when he's in a great strait, you know. If you haven't, you know, experience what he's experiencing, it's hard to sympathize with him, isn't it? It's hard to sympathize. I used to find this time and time again, trying to visit folks after they'd lost a precious loved one, a mate, you know. A man loses his wife and loses a child, and you try to... A wife loses her husband. You go and you try to visit. You try to give some strength, some encouragement. But, you know, you hadn't been there. You just hadn't been there. And it's difficult. And you know, it's just, you express your sorrow. You can. And express the best you can, the grief that you share with them over it. But you just hadn't been there. And so it's difficult. But God, our Lord Jesus Christ says he experienced everything that's common to man while walking through this world 33 years. And he knows how folks feel when they lose a child. We read that so much, don't we, especially in the New Testament. When a man loses a mate, he can sympathize. He's a sympathizing physician. Whatever sickness we find ourselves in, whatever trouble we find ourselves in, he can sympathize. He's been there. He's been tried in every point such as we have. That's what the scripture said, isn't it? Yet without sin. Yet without sin. But he's a faithful sympathizer. And so David is expressing this thing knowing that experience. He says, "You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." It's a short article that one of my brothers that sends me his bulletins and little correspondence with him. I have several pastors over the country that do this. We share things with one another. And he sent this in one of his bulletins. I read it last week. And Patsy pointed it out to me when she was looking over the emails. And it's one of Brother Henry Mahan's little short articles that from this very verse here, Psalm 4:8. And Brother Mahan, of course, went on to be with the Lord about 2 weeks ago, this past Friday. But he's left so much behind. Like Abel. What does Scripture say about Abel? Though he be dead, yet he speaketh. So it is with men who love God and who leave this world. Usually they leave something behind that blesses somebody else, you know. And that's what I thought about when I read this little statement that Brother Henry had left behind. He said this about David's statement here in Psalm 4 and verse 8. He said, "Better than bars and locks is the protection of our God, the protection of our Lord." He said, "Armed men kept the bed of Solomon." They did, David's son. "Armed men kept the bed of Solomon, but we do not believe he slept any more soundly than his father David, whose bed was the ground in a lonely cave many times and was hunted constantly by evil men." He was safe. And he makes that clear here. He says again, look at verse number 7. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." What he's saying there is Christ in the heart, my dear one. Christ in the heart. Not just the mind, Christ in the heart. Experimentally, in the heart. I hope you learn that. It's better than corn in the barn. That's what David said here. It's better than corn in the barn or wine in the vat. Nothing supersedes that. Nothing can compare with that blessed peace and joy and gladness that you have in your heart when Christ is there, when our blessed Redeemer is there, when you know that He's set up residence in your heart, in your life, and you walk with Him and commune with Him. He understands you. You understand Him and His presence with you. So mark that word "only" there. In that psalm, that text there, that's something to remember there. Mark the word "only," dear ones, and remember it. It is the Almighty One, the Almighty God. Think about that. Yes, sir. Who is the shepherd and keeper of His sheep. And He does so without the help of man. He can do it on His own, can't He? He can do it when nobody else can do it. He does that. He makes dead sure about His people. First of all, He said in Ezekiel chapter 34, I like this, in verse 11, He said, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself," He said, "will search for my sheep and will seek them out." And that's so. That's so. He found this lost sheep years ago, wandering around in this dark world, wandering around in the blackness of sin, Not knowing where to go, where to seek, and what to seek, just totally confused. He found this lost sheep, this sinner. He sought me out, and he brought me out. He brought me out. We've learned a little old course that, at least the course of a little song that, that baby Emma back there has brought us in touch with. Thank God I'm free, free from this world of sin. Yeah, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. And there's another part that goes there. Hallelujah! I'm saved. I'm saved, saved, saved. He brought me out and showed me the way. Oh, yes, that's my blessed Redeemer. If you're saved, that's your Redeemer. That's your blessed. That's your blessed Keeper. That he found you, and he delivered you. And he'll keep you. He'll keep you. He's the shepherd of his sheep. Isaiah said something about this. He said in his prophecy, Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11, he said, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom." I like that, don't you? Yeah. He will bring them in with his strong arms, his mighty power, and he'll keep them wrapped up in those mighty arms. Jesus makes us so acquainted with this when he said, talking about the blessed sheep of God's pasture over in the book of John, and talked about that those who come to Christ, he said, "Nobody, no one, no creature can take them out of my hand." And he said, "My Father who gave them unto me is greater than all, and no creature can take them out of my Father's hand." That's encouraging, isn't it? That's safety, isn't it? That's preservation, isn't it? You like that? Amen? Amen. Yes, sir. And he will gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. And Jeremiah had something to say about this. These prophets, boy, they've delighted in talking about the shepherd. Our great shepherd, the Lord God Almighty, how that he keeps his people, finds them, seeks them out, finds them, brings them to himself. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 23, in verse number 3. He said, "Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them. And I will bring them back," he says, "to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." Jeremiah also said this. He said, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman, and she who is in labor together." Oh, he says, "a great company, and they shall return. Return unto him." That's God. That's our God. That's the promise of our God. Over and over. You know, those who are reconciled to God in his love have privileges beyond all others. Ah, so this world is in its darkness and blindness, its foolishness, its lostness. They can't see one thing. Not one thing can they derive from the blessed benefits and the privileges, Jason, that you and I and others who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and who are resting in him. They just can't begin to see what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, what we have in our faithful God. Yeah. You see, when we are at peace, with him, and we rest in peace, and our sleep comes as a sleeping, resting baby, get around us, the world is full of distracted people who cannot lie down in peace. They cannot lie down in a relaxed way. So many people lie down even tonight, tomorrow night, whenever. They'll be laying down and cannot sleep for fear of what might take place. You know, it's such a troubled world, isn't it? This is a troubled world. There's all kinds of things going on. Every day we rise up, my dear friend. Pastor, you turn on the news, the TV or the radio. Turn on the news. What do you get? You get bad news, don't you? That's what you're getting. You ever find any good news coming across that channel? No. If it's news, it's bad news. It's something's happening. Something's taking place here and there. Turmoil. I'm constant turmoil everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, all over the world. It's not just here, but it's everywhere. And people wake up with that on their mind, and then they keep it on their mind through the daytime. They dwell upon it, and at nighttime they lay down, and it comes right back, and it's refreshed in their minds. And my soul, they can't rest. They can't rest. I'm glad I can lay down and lay it all behind me. Lay it aside, close my eyes, and rest in peace. Why is that? Well, my peace is God. My peace is in Christ. He is my peace. And with Him, there's no trouble. Whatever trouble might be around me, I know that He is at and in what? And you were talking about it this morning, Jesus. He's in absolute control of it. You know, we use the term oftentimes about God being an absolute sovereign God. You don't have to do that. You hit it on the head. If He's God, He's God. If He's God, He's in control. Nothing out of control with our God. We don't have to use these adjectives and add anything to what we say about Him. Just He is God. He is. And He's the same yesterday. The Scripture says this, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I am the Lord, He says, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said that a long time ago, but He meant it, didn't He? And it applies today. It applies to today. Think about those things. Rest in those things. Find your peace and your joy and your gladness in those precious promises that we have from our faithful God. So, when we are at peace, my soul, how blessed it is. We rest. We rest. And we sleep like those sleeping, resting babies. We was on vacation this past week, went down to the coast. You know, and those two babies were out of their environment. And they didn't rest as well, did they? But as soon as they got back home, Amber said as soon as Emma got into her bed, she fell asleep just like that. And she rested. She rested. Well, she had a comfort there. She had a peace in her heart and mind, even though as young as she is, that she could experience. And laying down in that environment that she was so accustomed to. Well, that's the believer. That's the believer. We do that each and every night we lay down. If we have peace with God. If we rest in Him. Jesus said, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I've used that text over the years. I've been preaching nearly half a century. And I've used that text time and time again to appeal to sinners. We sit knowing there's lost people in my congregation. I'll use that text and try to encourage lost sinners, sinners that are struggling, sinners that are troubled, sinners that can't find peace. I'll use that. I'll say, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Nothing like rest when you're absolutely just tuckered out, isn't it? Can't put one foot in front of the other. You just need to rest somewhere. You ever been there? You ever been there? Huh? Yes, sir. You find you, you find it so pleasing to find just a place to lay down and rest. And rest. I tell you right now, if you're tired enough and worn enough, you can sleep about anywhere, can't you? Anything that comforts you. All right, the ground or foundation of this happiness that David speaks of here. You know, in the letter of the word, in the proposition of it, we have the comfortableness and advantage of natural sleep. Just natural sleep. But he's talking about a serenity here, a spiritual rest that you have in Him alone. That's what he's speaking of. So in the scope and drift of it, we have the comfortableness and advantage of God's favor. And that's what he's talking about here, of God's favor. The believer has advantage of God's favor. We call it grace. We call it grace. He has advantage of the grace of God, God's unmerited favor given unto those that believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing pleases God any more than a man coming out of himself and coming to rest in Christ Jesus the Lord, His Son. That's the purpose of sending Him into this world, that He might accomplish all that must be accomplished in order that God might be just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. And what pleases Him more? Nothing, absolutely nothing can please Him more than in you and I is coming to Christ and resting in Him. Whatever the trouble may be, we might find ourselves in, even in this day that we live today, you might, after a while, we know not what an hour brings forth. We might, after a while, be in such a strait, we don't know what to do and where to turn. What means we might apply to help us out of the situation that we're in. But turn your mind, turn your heart and your mind upon Jesus, folks. He's there. He's there. He'll be there. He always shows up just at the time you need Him most. So rest in Him. Rest in Him and you'll have that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. So, I say in the scope and the drift of it, we have the comfortableness and advantage of God's favor. And then the security and fearlessness of a godly person. David has that in mind here. He's talking about such a person. He's talking about himself, but he's applying this and giving this to you and me down through the ages. He knew that we'd come along and need what he's talking about, so God inspired him to write it. The security and the fearlessness of God, of a godly person who is in the love and the favor of God and has this evidence made good to his soul. Is free from all abnormal disturbance of peace. Of spirit. You know, those who are reconciled to God in that marvelous love of God, that care of God, reconciled to Him. So as the Scripture says, in patience to possess their own souls, in the midst of the greatest outward trouble, we find this. We can find this ability through the power of God, by the marvelous grace of the Almighty, to possess our soul, to keep it from falling into a state of chaos and calamity and confusion, as the world around us often does. They don't have that power. They don't have that power. You don't have that through the power of God Almighty. And so, this is grounded, I think, on the persuasion which they have of God Himself and of His affections toward them. We have this. We have this. Grounded in that persuasion. I believe, I'm persuaded. Isn't that what Paul said over in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter? I'm persuaded, he says, that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he lists several things, death or life or, you know, whatever. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Which is in Christ Jesus. You see, if we be in Christ Jesus, at vital union with him, we're as good as he is. In whatever situation we find ourselves in, God over all is keeping. God over all is keeping. So none can compose, I think, themselves but those which are thus affected by this persuasion. And none can lie down in peace. Now, think about this. None can lie down in peace like David is talking about here. None can lie down in peace and sleep in security but those who have been made, or who have made their peace with God. And how do we make that peace with God? We make that peace with God by coming to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ is our peace. And in him alone, as accepted in the Beloved, we come to that place where God Almighty receives us even as his Son, his only beloved and begotten Son. So there we find that peace. And so, Paul said to Timothy in chapter 3 in verse number 1, I wrote this down here. He said, This know. 2 Timothy, that's his last letter. 3rd chapter, and he's writing and telling us a few things that he wants us to know before he leaves this world. He leaves this world in chapter 4. And departs to be with the Lord. He said, now I want you to know this, that in the last days, perilous times, that word perilous there is trouble. Trouble times shall come. Now, I don't know about you, but for my part, I kind of believe we're there. Trouble. As I said a while ago, it's every day. Trouble. I know Miss Patsy came in the other morning. She said, did you see what the news said about what's going on in Hong Kong? I did. I got a glimpse of it. I didn't see the details on it. But there's riots and there's constant protests taking place in Hong Kong. Well, that may be good. But it's trouble. It's trouble over there, right? Those people are having trouble. Well, it may be good, though, if the people are rising up in protest against that totalitarian government. They keep them constantly under bondage. Yeah, we correspond somewhat with those poor Christians, those believers in China. We do that through these sermons that we send out over the internet. And they're going into China and places like that. But those people have a tough time of taking advantage of those sermons and materials and what have you. We run up on some ladies, older ladies, I'm talking about senior citizens, several years ago, and found out that they were a group of women that made tours to China. But purposely went there to try to smuggle in Bibles and Christian literature into that place over there and some way or another distribute that while they were there. It was a dangerous mission for them. It's probably, what, maybe a dozen of them. Fast, you remember that? And they said they've been doing that for several years. But those people don't have the freedom. They don't have the liberty that you and I sit here this morning and enjoy. They've been under terrible oppression for years and years now, under that communistic ideology. We try to do what we can to get to them. But they suffer. They're suffering right now as we speak. Suffering. If a Bible's found upon them, they're either brought to trial in the they're either severely punished through prison or what have you, or even sometimes executed because they just don't allow that. They just don't allow it. And if you get a hold of a piece of a Bible, just a section of the Bible, they share it with one another. They might have something of God's Word to read and to meditate upon and to rest in. You won't find greater rest than you have in this book right here that I'm preaching from this morning. Like this psalm that I'm preaching from, verse number 8 and Psalm 4. My, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. My, what a text. What a thought. What a thought. So comforting to a believer. But you know, a guilty conscience can never lie down in quietness when the greatest states in the world are, for the most part, occasioned with great distraction and disquietude. Just can't do it. If you're not reconciled with God, you don't find the peace in Christ Jesus, you just don't have peace at all. Such appear to me, at least in are these times in which we live, and subject to break men's of their natural rest. Now let me ask you this: Why could David sleep with his estate as such, rather than his enemies in what appeared to be a better state? Their barns were filled with grain. Their vats were filled with wine. They seemed to have everything that man could desire. And yet David says, yet my joy is in the Lord. My comfort is in Him. When their barns are full, he says, my gladness is being in Christ, in my blessed God. He says, more than in the time when their corn and their wine is increased. And that's where we find it as believers. And so David, he could sleep with his estate as such rather than his enemies with theirs as it was. Again in verse number 7, Thou hast put gladness in my heart. In my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. There it is. And because his was sanctified and sweetened to him by the love and grace of God, it made it much better. It made it so much better than whatever this world might advantage by out here. And you'll observe this also, and I'll bring this to a close pretty soon. Here's the ground of the godly man's composure. He said, Thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. That's the ground right there of the godly man's composure. The blessing itself, a safe and secure habitation, just being in God, being in Christ. Man, what a habitation. And you know, we are the habitation of God. God's people are. He says that in the Word of God. We are the Lord's habitation. He dwells with us, and we dwell in Him through Christ Jesus the Lord. And then as we desire to dwell safely, let us be careful to dwell holy. To dwell holy. That includes holiness in our religion, first of all. Holiness and piety, first of all. A lot of folks talk about religion, talk about piety, talk about this, that, and the other related to religion, Jason, but holiness seems to be far from them. And if your religion doesn't have holiness in it, if it doesn't have a separation to God in it, that's what that word holiness means, sanctify, set apart by God Almighty for His, to His glory and His honor. If it doesn't have that, my friend, you don't have proper religion at all. You don't have proper religion at all. Ah, my soul. Isn't this world mixed up, isn't it? It's messed up and mixed up. I mean, from one end to the other. Religion. And so many folks is maybe some kind of elaborate building. Some edifice, you know, that's got all the trimmings and all the things that make it lovely and beautiful, and they like to behold it and just revel in it. Oh, I've had that time and time reminded to me. Talk about, you ought to see our new building. Our new building. Well, I appreciate God giving us what we have here. It's been sufficient, hadn't it, for nearly a half a century, hadn't it? Been sufficient. I've told folks, you know, if you walk out and look back on this little concrete block building, 100 feet long, 40 feet wide, I said it looked like a glorified chicken house, but it just makes fine and suitable for those that love God. Of course, a place to come in our acquaintance with God, to worship together. Don't you think so? We just worship together. Thank the Lord for it. So the blessing itself, safe and secure habitation. And as we desire to dwell safely, let us always be careful about that business of holiness. Holiness. And I'm not talking about a false holiness. I'm talking about a biblical, spiritual holiness unto God. Oh, yeah. So that includes, that is, in everything, our just and honesty and honest dealings with one another, especially with this world out here, and have that principle of holiness working there. That keeps us from being covetous and greedy and seeking one another's substance, whatever it may be. And a righteousness here, and a peace, and a friendship, love, and quietness of spirit, charity, and giving to those who are in need, sharing with one another. That's the church, isn't it? That's the people of God. That's the people of God. When one suffers, all suffers. That's the spirit that we have. And this blessing flows from God Himself, my dear friends. It's not a business of mere casualty and causality and what have you. There's a providence in it. A providence in it. Not a business of mere endeavor, but it comes by the blessing of God Himself. I will both lay me down, He says here, in peace and sleep. For You, Lord, only make me to dwell in safety. David said this, and I'll be through. He said he had such a calmness and serenity of mind amidst all his troubles. David had plenty of troubles. Constantly fleeing from Saul, that tyrant. Finding oftentimes seclusion in caves and what have you. By himself. There he cried out to God for salvation. He cried out to God for deliverance. Cried out to God for God's keeping power. And was heard. Yeah, he was heard. Wrote that blessed promise that I claim so often for myself and for others when trouble comes. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me, God says. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And I will deliver thee. That's a promise. I will deliver thee. There's no gap there. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Thou shalt glorify me. I found that to be so true so many times. Somebody called me with trouble, problems. Maybe I can't get there, but I can pray. I can pray to God. And I can remember those promises. And I can claim them for the person that's in trouble, that's in a state of difficulty. I can claim those things and say, Lord, apply that. Apply that. You said to me, and you said it to whoever's trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And thou shalt, what? Glorify me. Make dead sure you do that. Glorify God. So David had such a calmness and serenity of mind amidst all his troubles that he could not only lay himself down in great peace and much composure of mind, but also sleep. He could also sleep. Yeah. And that as soon as he laid down. As soon as he laid down, he fell off to sleep. You know, some lay themselves down but cannot sleep. Trouble so bad, they have nowhere to turn. They don't have the God that we who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ have to turn. Rest in. They can lay themselves down but cannot sleep. Oh, my dear friend, my dear, dear friend, for a conscience that's free, absolutely free from the guilt of sin. Where do you find such a conscience? That when it rests in Christ. That finds rest in Christ. If you're resting in Christ, you're free from sin. For there is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. May God bless this little message this morning to your heart. I trust He will encourage you, strengthen you with it. Go away with something that you can take with you through the rest of the day and through life. Remember these things. May God help you. That's my prayer. Okay, let's sing a song.